Genesis chapter 5 is one of those chapters that people tend to read through pretty quickly. It's a genealogy chapter, and so basically it's a list of names. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so. So-and-so begat so-and-so. And not only that, it's a list of names of people from Adam to Noah. Now, why do we even need a genealogy of the people from Adam to Noah? I mean, the whole genealogy is going to reset when you get to Noah anyway. This just seems kind of extra. And yet, if you stop and smell the roses as you go through this, you're going to read about one guy in Genesis 5 who stands out above the rest. It starts in verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wait, let's read that again. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Was not what? It's a weird sentence, right? It said Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What is going on in this verse? I find it to be weird, and I'd like to explore why it's in the Bible. So turn to Genesis 5, and let's get weird. Welcome to Weird Stuff in the Bible, where we explore scripture passages that are bizarre, perplexing, or just plain weird. This is Luke Taylor, and today we're going to be talking about this Enoch feller who was and then was not. Enoch is mentioned a handful of times in the Bible. I think we're going to cover just about all of them today. Enoch comes up in this genealogy right here in Genesis 5. There's also a genealogy of the line of Cain in Genesis 4, and there's an Enoch mentioned over there. That's an entirely different Enoch. So the Enoch of Genesis chapter 5, this one is in the line of Seth. This Enoch is also mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Luke 3. And he also gets a shout out in the book of Jude, which we're going to talk about in an episode here pretty soon. And then also in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to cover that today as well. So there's very little information about Enoch. And as he shows up in this genealogy, he really kind of breaks up the flow. Like every person in the genealogy of Genesis 5, they're given a birth. It says how old they were when their son was born. Then how much longer until they died. You know, like I'll just give you an example here. Just to give you an idea of the flow of this chapter, I'm going to tell you about Enoch's father. It says in Genesis 5:18, when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And that's the pattern all through this chapter. They live, they have children, they die. Except for this guy right here, right in the middle of it, his name is Enoch. Enoch is not given a date that he died. Instead, it says this, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Not a whole lot of info about Enoch's lifestyle. He has a kid at 65, named him Methuselah, lived another 300 years, had some more kids during that time. And for those of us who are mathematically challenged, then verse 23 comes along. It tells us how old Enoch was when it happened. It says in verse 23, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Kind of an interesting number, because it's how many days there are in a year. And then Enoch is not given a death announcement. Instead, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch was, and then he wasn't. Okay, that's the English Standard Version right there. Maybe it's missing a word in the English Standard, right? But like, let's go check over in the King Jimmy Version. Let's see what it says. That one says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So it doesn't really eliminate anything. You go to a different translation. I'll try the New International Version, okay? I don't like that one a whole lot because sometimes the translators, in my opinion, they just went a little bit too thought for thought, and some of the thoughts got lost in translation. So some people call it the nearly inspired version. Anyway, let's check that one. Let's see if they were inspired to make a little more sense out of verse 24. They say Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. That makes a little bit more grammatical sense. You know, it still leaves some mystery there. It says he was no more. It's like he suddenly ceased to exist. What happened to Enoch? Well, there's various scholarly terms that we could pull out to describe what happened to Enoch in Genesis 5:24. But here's what I want to do. I'll let the Bible interpret the Bible for us today. Let's just go, we're going to go back to English Standard Version now, but let's look at what Hebrews 11:5 says. Because as I said before, Enoch gets a little bit of a mention here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Well, this one right here, it just cuts away all the speculation. Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. One day, when Enoch was 365 years old, God just took him right on up into heaven. Now, what was so special about Enoch that he just got to go straight up into heaven? Well, we are told very few details about Enoch in the Bible, but I want to list, I got five or six reasons here I want to go through that I think these are all reasons Enoch was taken to heaven and never experienced death. So number one, Enoch had significant faith. There's lots of people in the Bible who had faith. They did not all make it into the hall of faith. That's what they call Hebrews 11 sometimes. You know, it's this chapter, it has a list of individuals who had great moments of faith. So sometimes it's called the hall of faith, like the hall of fame. And it says, by faith, so-and-so did this. You know, a lot of times it's for something they did. All right. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt and he chose God. By faith, Abraham offered up his son. So sometimes faith is for something that they did. But then other times, their faith was shown in kind of a more passive way. Like Sarah, it said, by faith, Sarah received Isaac. By faith, Enoch was taken. He allowed it to happen to him. Like it was something God did, but Enoch accepted it by faith. So it shows me here, sometimes faith is demonstrated by doing something. Sometimes faith is demonstrated by doing nothing, by just letting God fight the battle. And that was the kind of faith Enoch had here. That's what it brings up about him, was that he, by faith, he allowed God to do this thing of taking him up into heaven. So that's one thing about Enoch. He had significant faith. Number two, Enoch pleased God. All right, we don't know much about Enoch's life before the flood. You know, not a whole lot. I mean, we know he walked with God. It said that. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. We're going to see in the book of Jude, as we go forward on the podcast, that Enoch was a prophet. He had some prophecies recorded. And so we'll study how Enoch actually wrote a book that is not even included in your Bible, and yet many Bible writers were familiar with him and believed in his book. So whatever Enoch was doing, you know, it was something that pleased God, and that's what Hebrews tells us. Genesis also tells us that he walked with God. So let's talk about that. What does it mean to walk with God? I have a few ideas on that. Number three, Enoch was near to God. And I say that because if you're walking with someone, if you visualize that, you are side by side, okay? That's what the metaphor here gives you the visual picture of. Two people walking side by side. And so Enoch was near to God. Wouldn't it be great to get to heaven someday and just to have God say to you, you were walking side by side with me? You know, I just always think when I get to heaven, I don't want it to be like this formal introduction with God as if it's like the first time we've ever met. You know, I don't want that. I want to embrace God when I get to heaven, like I'm meeting an old friend. So that means that relationship with God, it doesn't start when you get to heaven. I mean, you start it here on earth. I used to try to pray 30 minutes a day, and that was just like this goal I'd always set in my head. And when I would do that, I would just basically do it all in one spurt. You know, I just find a block of time and pray for 30 minutes. And this is what I found though, when I made that my goal, like just a certain number of minutes, what I would generally do is I would try to pray, like, I would pray for that 30 minutes, but then I'd be kind of like, okay, I did it. And then the rest of the day, I didn't talk to God a whole lot. And then after I did that for a while, I felt like God was telling me that I wasn't really having a walk with him anymore. I was having a 100-yard dash with him. You know, basically I'd have this little sprint with God and then I was done with him for the day. And I came to realize that when you walk with God, it's more like what I think it was Paul who talked about praying without ceasing. You know, I think that's more of what it's talking about when we walk with God. It's just a frequent communication with God throughout your day. It's not about hitting a certain number of minutes in one part of your day. It's about checking in with God throughout your day. And I think that's how you get that nearness to God, like what Enoch had. So number three, Enoch was near to God. Number four, Enoch was in agreement with God. How long would you walk with someone if you disagreed with them? You know, if you couldn't get along with them? Not very long, right? Probably not for 300 years. Amos chapter 3 has this great verse that says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" So the fact that Enoch and God walked together for so long, it meant that they were in agreement. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed this about God. God is often right. You know, God usually wins the argument. If you and God are not in agreement on something, I probably don't need to flip a coin to figure out who's right. You know, and so what this shows me about Enoch is that when Enoch and God had any kind of disagreement, this tells me Enoch was willing to change and he was willing to agree with God pretty quickly. Number five. Enoch was going places with God. Why do I say that? Well, because the text didn't say he was sitting with God. He wasn't on the couch with God. His life had some kind of direction. We don't know what it was, but it must have been something busy. He was about his father's business until he finished his assignment on earth. And so my advice to everyone listening, if you feel a little bit distant from God today, take a walk. Just take a walk with God. Just try it. You know, and hey, we're in springtime now. It's nice weather outside. Take a walk with God each day. Just see what that does for your spiritual life. Just give it a chance. Okay? So right there, there's like five things that we can observe from just a few verses here about Enoch. Okay? We're not told a whole lot, but there's some things we can draw out of the text there if we really just kind of think about it logically. And here's a sixth one, and this one's kind of a teaser for next time. Enoch was spared from the coming judgment. That's one reason that he was removed from the earth. It's that by the time of the flood, the Nephilim had been filling the earth. It was so wicked. Humanity was only interested in doing evil all the time. God was going to have to flood the entire planet just to wash away all the wickedness. And Enoch was spared from that. So he didn't have to deal with it. He was taken out before God's judgment fell. He was taken to heaven without dying. This is also known as a rapture in the Bible. And I know whenever I use that word, like a bunch of people's antennas just went up. Okay, the red flags just went up, right? I'm one of those crazy rapture people. There's going to be pandemonium in the streets now that I've said that word. But listen, hear me out on this. If you come back next time, I want to make the case for you that Enoch was the first rapture in the Bible, and he is far from the last. So next time on this podcast, we're going to talk about that. I hope you're subscribed so that you can get that episode. And in the meantime, if you could leave like a 5-star review, if you're listening on Apple or whatever you use to like the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, I would appreciate that. So if you're listening today and you're like, wait, we were going through the book of Jude and we were about to get into verses 12 and 13 and we kind of skipped ahead to the Enoch stuff. If you're kind of confused about all this, I'll just say, as I studied 12 and 13, I just didn't feel like they fit the format of this podcast super well. But I didn't want to skip over them entirely. There are some great verses. Jude 12 and 13 are amazing. And so I am actually still going to cover them. I'm going to do it over on my other podcast. It's called Cross References. And this coming Monday, I'm just going to take a week on that one and just, We're just going to talk about Jude 12 and 13 and dig into, it's got a lot of cross references. So it really fits the format of that podcast over there better. And so if you're like, hey, I want to hear some more Jude, like, I don't want to skip anything in Jude, go give it a listen on the cross references podcast next week. And if you're here for the weird stuff and you're ready for some more Enoch, then come back here next week and we'll keep digging into what was going on with Mr. Enoch. We'll be talking about Enoch for a few weeks, actually, because he's got a lot of strange things going on. And so as we close down today, let's just recap. Enoch was, and then he wasn't. What does that mean? He was there, and suddenly Enoch wasn't there anymore. Well, as we read in Hebrews, Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. And we've kind of outlined six reasons today of why Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. One, Enoch had significant faith. He shows up in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. Two, Enoch pleased God. That's something else that we learn in Hebrews 11. And then in Genesis 5, we read that Enoch walked with God. So what does this mean? Well, number three, Enoch was near to God. Four, Enoch was in agreement with God. Five, Enoch was going places with God. And if we go on to Genesis 6, we're going to find a sixth reason that Enoch was taken. Six, Enoch was spared the coming judgment. And so far today, we've covered what the Bible means when it says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. We've covered what that means, and I've also given you six reasons why it happened. And I will give you a seventh one today. Number seven, Enoch was weird. Now, why do I say Enoch was weird? Well, I can't prove this, but I feel pretty certain about something. I think Enoch was taken up to heaven because there was nothing in this world that he cared about more than he cared about God. I couldn't tell you how much this idea of walking with God, you know, how much of that was literal for Enoch, how much of that was metaphorical. I'm not really sure, but to be honest, here's what I do know. At some point on one of their walks, God must have said, Enoch, do you want to just go on up with me up into heaven? And Enoch replied, there's nothing else I would rather do. And that was the truth. And that's why Enoch could go. And I just want you to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. What if God had asked you that question? Would you be ready to go if God called you on home right now? Would you protest? Would you say, but God, I need to do this, or so-and-so needs me, but. I just want to say something challenging as we close down on this. This is kind of a short episode today, but it's something that I'm wrestling with this in my own life. Would I be ready to go if God asked me? Or would I be making excuses? Would I be saying, but God, this, I got to do this, I got to do that. Your buts are things that are more important to you than God. And they might be really important buts. But you're supposed to love God with no buts. Jesus said this in Luke 9, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And later he said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, those are hard words. And those are heavy words. Those are challenging words. And those are words from Jesus himself. You are supposed to love God so much that if he offered you the chance to just go right on up into heaven right now, you'd be ready to drop whatever's in your hands and go with him. And if that sounds weird, I hope you're a little bit more weird today too. Thanks for listening. God bless you for sticking around till the end. And we'll see you next time.